If you can please turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, so long. Some exciting news that happened this week was, we always love when people get married and want to get married, and Gudani and Greta got engaged yesterday. Where are you guys? If you can please stand, let's just congratulate them. There we go, at the back there, my left. Then I hear as well, I've been out of town this week, but I hear apparently it was announced already that Andre and Yvette got engaged. Okay, I'm a bit quick on the draw there. But it's so exciting to see so many young people get married, and I know it's sort of like a whole new generation. Then also, something we obviously love more than anything else, even more than a marriage, is when someone makes the decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. And to get baptized. And this week, Jackie got baptized. Bonita is going to be sharing more about her.
Well, the story really starts with a very cute little dog called Biscuit.
Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. Last week, I went to our International Leadership Conference in the United States in Miami. And it was just such a superb time to be able to be again with brothers and sisters from all over the world. Now, it is very far. I must say, it's 21 hours of flight, so it's quite a way there. But just being with disciples from all over the world and being able to be with brothers and sisters I met again, and it's always so fascinating at these different events, is to be able to meet brothers and sisters from Vietnam, from Estonia, from Moscow, from Iran, and all having the same goal. And the same desire to be able to serve God with everything that they've got. And it was just so exciting also to just hear so many good news stories from across the world. And I'll share more this coming Wednesday at our family service. But it is great to just be able to see our fellowship of churches growing again. And growing all over the world, and being able to plant different churches across the world, and being able to speak to different brothers and sisters just about our need for campus interns here in South Africa, and their willingness to say, listen, you know, we'll go back to our campus ministries. And many of these churches have large campus ministries where they have 100 campus students on one campus ministry that are disciples of Jesus, following him with all of their heart and saying, listen, we want to help. And are able to approach some brothers and sisters from Bangalore, India, and from Jakarta, Indonesia, saying, listen, please, would you be able to come here and speak and be able to speak at a midweek service and a Sunday service, and where we will be able to get some of our smaller church leaders, what we're hoping for with special contribution is to be able to, and it will depend on how it goes with it, but to be able to actually pay for them to fly down here. And in that way, because we can only have these guests for about 5 or 6 days a year, that all our families back home and need to go back. But in that way, we'll be able to reach more people and be able to influence more and be able to record it for them again, if they can take it back to their congregations, but that they will have that experience themselves. So please be praying for that. We'll also be praying together. Our midweek service is coming Wednesday, more about that. But today, we are starting a new series called Tuned In. Getting your prayers onto God's frequency. Now, I don't know if you've ever been driving in your car, and as you drive in your car, I switch on the radio, and then there's a cool song that comes up. You know, and it's one of those songs where as the song comes up, you want to drive the car faster, you can feel everything moving, you get more loose. You even transport yourself to the dance floor, and no one is seeing, but you're getting the groove and you're doing it. And then suddenly the single goes out, and it's gone. And the moment is lost, and you're not in the Ferrari anymore, you're back in your Golf. And you're off of the dance floor, and you're back in your seat, and reality kicks in. Sometimes our prayer life can be a little bit like that, where we do not feel tuned in to God. We feel like, man, we're not on the same frequency, where it can feel like we are crying out, but somehow it just seems like He cannot hear us. Somehow there is a discrepancy between the ask and the answer, where we ask, but somehow there's a missing link, and we don't know the answer. We don't know whether He will answer, or we experience it that He doesn't want to answer. Let me just see for a show of hands here. Who of us feel like, man, most of our prayers that we have prayed, we feel like actually we're not sure if they get answered or they don't get answered. Okay, and then there's some shy ones out there. Now, what we're going to be talking about in this series is we're going to try and address that issue, specifically on the ask. If you study prayers in the Bible, they mostly consist out of one or a combination of four things. It usually talks about us praising God, thanking Him, confessing sin, and then the ask part, supplication, where we are able to lay our request before Him. But what we want to do in this series is to be able to address, well, is there a likelihood that I could increase the frequency of my prayers being answered? So in the whole series, we're going to specifically actually focus on the ask. So we're not going to be talking necessarily about thanking and praising, and we believe in those things, and we'll do that in another series. But more specifically, I want to address the issue of the ask. Is it possible? Is it possible, as we study the scriptures, to increase the likelihood of our prayers being answered? And if it is possible, what does it take? What kind of prayers do we need to be praying? Who is it that we need to be? How does it all work in the mix? Now, I have been thinking about this, I don't know, for about a year and a half now. And so some of the thoughts might be very new for you, and I know I've sort of thought through this and had longer time to process it. So to take it as it comes and maybe take some of these thoughts away and go and reflect on them and process them, because it takes time to get one's head around what it is that the scriptures are teaching. But I do also believe that God, through the Spirit and through the scriptures, gives us guidance. How do we increase the likelihood of our prayers being answered? So let's take a look in John chapter 14 as Jesus gives us a tremendous insight here as to how to get tuned in and get our prayers onto God's frequency. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, and this is a cool passage in many ways, He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. Okay, says they're with the disciples in His time. He says, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. Now, Jesus lived a pretty great life of influence. He changed many lives and influenced many people. And He says that anyone who has faith in Him will be able to do what it is that He is doing. But then He goes a step further and He says, actually, He will do even greater things than these. So He's saying to the crowd that's with Me, He says, listen, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. As a matter of fact, He will do even greater things than these. That the disciples of that time and we here today will be able to have, in a way, even a greater impact and influence in the world that we live in. But how would that be possible? He says, because I am going to the Father. Now you might think, but geez, you're going to the Father. How can we not have a greater impact when you're leaving us? But as we read the scriptures, we see that Jesus actually left and went to the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father. And there, in Hebrews 7:25, it says there He lives to intercede for us with the Father. So He is in heaven and He is interceding and saying, listen, you will not only do what I've been doing, you will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to plead your case with the Father. I'm going to be sitting next to the Father and point Him to you. Then He says in verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in My name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. And I will do whatever you ask in My name. I don't know if you've ever contemplated on those words. I will do whatever you ask in My name. I've asked a lot of things in His name. As a matter of fact, most of my prayers, 99% of my prayers closes out with, I pray this in Jesus' name. I will do whatever you ask in My name. And then I wonder, but I've asked a number of things and they certainly don't seem to be done. And then you say, no, just have faith, just have faith. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things. Ask whatever you want in My name and I will do it. But I think the thing that we neglect is why. Why would he do it? And we neglect to read the rest of the verse. The question is, why would he do whatever we ask in his name? Is it because we are so great? Is it because we are so needy? Is it because we love him so much? Or is it maybe because he loves us so much? Or he realizes that without him, we're nothing. Why would he do that? He gives us the answer right there in the scripture. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, and listen to this very carefully, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So you will be doing, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. See, that's the end goal, the chief object of prayer, is to bring glory to the Father. And it is towards that end that the promise is made, to the glory of the Father. Ask whatever you want to in His name, and I will answer it so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. In other words, if the Father will be glorified through your request, Jesus promises to answer your prayers. But if the Father will not be glorified, the request will not glorify the Father, then the promise becomes void. So the promise is only true when it is actually to the glory of the Father. And when the focus of our prayer, the life, the aim, the soul, the being of our prayer is actually we are praying these prayers, I'm making this request so that the Father may be glorified. See, we shouldn't be making our requests only so that we can get what we want. We should be making our requests so that the Father can be uplifted. So that in answering that request, that people will be able to look at God and say, wow, what an amazing God we serve. Since that is the goal. As we study the life and the prayer of Jesus, we see this permeating his life and his prayer. In John chapter 5, verse 30, will come up on the screen. Jesus said, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I'm not living and praying for myself. I'm living and praying for him who sent me. The Bible in basic English translated as saying, listen to this, I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, but only what is pleasing to him who sent me. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, but only to do what is pleasing to him who sent me. The modern day King James Version, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he actually explains why he came from heaven, Jesus, when he says in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Why did Jesus live and breathe and move and have his being? He says to do the will of him who sent me. He said he only came to earth so the Father would be glorified. He only came to earth so that we as people would be able to look at God and say, what a great God. That we'll be able to look at heaven and say, here is a God that cares for us, a God that loves us deeply, a God that knows us intimately, more than anyone else, who is more interested in us than we can possibly imagine. But we can see that in Jesus. We can see it in the way that he lives. We can see it in the way that he prays, and his life and his prayer points us to the Father. And because of that, we want to bring glory to the Father. Even prior to Jesus' betrayal and arrest in John chapter 17, it says he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. You may ask, why glorify his Son? We're talking about him. He says, glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. He said, glorify me, help me through this opportunity, lift me up through this opportunity, because as you do that, you will be glorified. See, the key focus of Jesus' life and prayer on earth, His intercession for us in heaven, and the promise of John chapter 14 and answering our prayers today is the Father's glory. And the Father will answer the prayer of the Father, will get glorified through it. That is the key to being tuned in. That is the missing link. There is an ask, and there is an answer, and there is a gap. What fills the gap? Jesus says, the Father's glory. The answer between the asking and the Father's doing, the asking and the answering, is the Father's glory. Whenever the Father will be glorified, the prayer will instantly, or in time, Luke 18, when it's fit, be answered. The question that I've been thinking about over the last couple of months is that is clearly the chief end of Jesus' prayer was for the Father to be glorified. But as I ask myself about my prayer life, the question I'm asking myself is towards which end am I praying? What is the focus and the object of my prayer? Do I have in mind self-will, self-glory? Or when I pray, do I have in mind the Father's will and the Father's glory? When we're praying for a better car or a new car or a bigger or better house or a better job, which in itself is not necessarily wrong to ask for, but when we ask for these things, what do we have in mind? Self-will, self-glory, Father's will, Father's glory. Are my prayers consumed with me? This is me. This is my will. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what will help me. Or are my prayers in the likes of Jesus? This is the Father's will, the Father's purposes. And this will bring glory to the Father. Take a look in Matthew chapter 6. See, I think what we can do is we become a product of our environment. We become a product in our prayer lives of what it is that we want our prayers to be like. In other words, it is the most quoted verse of the Bible is that God helps those who help themselves. That is the most quoted verse of the Bible, and yet it is not in the Bible. Okay, so they say the most quoted verse in the Bible is God helps those who help themselves. But that is not written anywhere in the Bible. So why is it the most quoted verse in the Bible? Because people want the Bible to say that. And I think we can often do the same thing with prayer. We get the Bible to say what it is that we want it to say so that we can again do what? So that our self-will and our desires can be met. Think of something as basic as the Lord's Prayer, what is known as the Our Father. Several accounts of this in the Bible. One is here in Matthew 6, one in Luke 11, where the disciples come to Jesus and says, teach us how to pray. And he says here in Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, this then is how you should pray. So he gives us guidance here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or may your holy name be honored. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is the focus of the Lord's Prayer? It's the Father, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your holy name be praised. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The focus is God. Then he moves to necessities and he says, only this one sentence, give us today our daily bread. Now, notice, give us today our daily steak, pizza. Give us today our daily bread. Give us the bare necessities to keep us alive. And then he immediately shifts back again and forgive us our debts as we forgive those he was indebted to us. And let us not fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because when we fall into temptation and we get involved in evil, it will not bring glory to your holy name. What is the focus? The focus is God. Again, I want to ask us, what is the chief end or object of our ask? Is the chief end self-interest, self-will, or is it the will of the Father, the glory of the Father? In James 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, when you pray, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. He says, we ask and we desire, but we do not get, because we ask with one motive, and the motive is me. Do it for me. This will make my life easier. It's about me. But why? Why is it true that the earnestness of our prayers for ourselves far outweighs the earnestness for which we pray for His glory? I think there are several possibilities, but think about these. Could it be that we have a misunderstanding of God's purpose of existence? That maybe we think that God actually exists for us instead of us existing for Him. Now, God certainly loves us and deeply cares for us, and He wants to be our Father and He wants to help us, but He does not exist for us. I think the prophet Isaiah was right, even of our generation, when thousands of years ago, he said in Isaiah 29, you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like clay. He was speaking to the people of his time, and I believe even to us today, saying, man, you've got the whole thing upside down here. You think that God exists for you, but it's actually the other way around. Creation is actually all about God. I love Psalm 19 where the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He says, when you look at the heavens, it says, you look at the heavens and it declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no language or speech where His voice is not heard. He says, you cannot go outside of creation and not look at creation and look at creation and not know that it's all about God. And know that there is a mighty God out there that has made all of this. And it says what creation does, and we're part of creation, what creation does and should do is it should point us to God. That it's about Him. See, the way we view God will influence our prayer life. Because if we think that God exists for us, then we will treat Him like a genie in a bottle. He would be at our beck and call to answer all our wishes, to align Himself and His powers with our desires. And when we do that, we will at the end find ourselves disappointed with God, won't we? Not only will you find yourself disappointed, you might find yourself even upset because you're going to say, but why don't you give this to me? I deserve it. I deserve, now we won't say these words, but I deserve you to serve me. Now, I think it's very rare that any of us would actually say those actual words. But why don't you give me this job? Why don't you help me get married? Why don't you relieve me from this pain? You're there to serve me, for goodness sake. Why aren't you doing it? We've got it turned upside down, don't we? As if we are the potter and He is the clay. And we need to be able to transform our minds in it, where the focus of our prayers actually becomes the glory of the Father. Now, this could be the most basic thing in how you pray. One of the prayers that I've most probably said most in my life, I'm not sure if any of you would be able to guess it. Now, I can't give all of you a shot at it. But I'm sure that all of us has a prayer that you most probably prayed most in your life, a prayer that you have repeated more than anything else. For me, that prayer has been, God, please make the baby quiet. I've prayed that prayer most probably more than anything else. With our first child, and she just cried, and it was never ending. I would lie in bed at night, and as she wakes up, I would just pray, please God, please God, please God, please God, please, 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 I beg of you, I beg of you. I'm lying on my back, but I'm actually on my knees and my heart. I beg of you, please keep the child quiet. I cannot do this anymore. And it happened with the second child, and we're back there with the third one. But then in time, I asked myself, well, I started pondering on the question, is that a fair request? Must God stop creation and keep my child quiet so that I can sleep? And let's forget about the people in Somalia and people that are dying of hunger and on a deathbed. And let's focus now on my moment here of the strain that I'm taking with this crying baby. And if you've had a crying baby, I think you will be able to resonate some with it. But is it fair? That's one. And is it to the glory of the Father? And so I've been visiting this idea again over this last couple of months as we have a three-month-old that does again the same thing. Is what if I change the request to saying, Father, help me to become the man that can actually deal with this? Father, don't quiet her down, quiet me down. Quiet down my spirit. Somehow make me calm because I feel like I can go crazy when it is never-ending screaming. And for me, it's that. For you, it's something completely different. It might be financial, your bank statement screaming. It's empty, it's empty. It might be a lack of a job screaming. It might be a boss screaming. It could be something else screaming. But Father, instead of quieting that down, I pray that you will quiet down my own spirit and my own soul, and that I would be able to come the man or the woman that would be able to handle these situations better, because through that, you will be glorified, because people would be able to look at my life and the way that I live, even in my circumstances, and say it is not possible for them to do it by themselves, but they must have some form of greater help that leads them that way, Father, and that points them to no one else but to you. And so in a way, we both win. I cope. But also, you get glorified. All that it is a change of focus. But why don't we pray those prayers? Why are our prayers permeated with us? Could it be that possibly that there is too big of a gap between the spirit of our daily life and the spirit of our prayer life? In other words, I cannot, in a moment's notice, suddenly fall down before the Father and focus on His glory. I cannot, in a moment's notice, when I enter my time of prayer, suddenly say, listen, I've lived my whole life about me, but actually in this time of prayer, I'm going to focus on you and I'm going to say, Father, this is actually just for your glory. I'm just doing it for you and for nobody else but for you. See, sometimes what we pray about is not actually a reflection of our prayer as much as it is a reflection of our daily life. Because what we live for is what we pray for. What we'll die for is what we'll pray for. If the Father's glory is at stake in our life, if I say, listen, your Father, here is my life, fully surrendered and fully submitted to you, and I give you my time, my talent, and my money, the things that are most dear to me, and I want to submit it and surrender it to you so that your name can be lifted up. Isn't it natural that it will just spill over into our prayer life? And that as we pray those kind of prayers, we'll get tuned in. as we pray those kind of prayers, what actually happens is as we grow and as we get into God's frequency, we actually start desiring different things than what we desire maybe as younger Christians. And this doesn't happen in one fell swoop, but as I walk with God and as I start living for Him, He starts chipping away at my heart and winning more and more of it for Him. And when He does, and when I get tuned in that way, then everything changes, because then what happens is this, is you don't see it as a sacrifice anymore. See, often people, I've heard, and I've said this myself, it's not just others, where people would say, well, I gave up so much to become a Christian. Did you? Did you give up much? Would you rather prefer the old way? Would you rather be self-destructive? Would you rather live for yourself and be hurtful to all relationships around you and have a broken marriage and mess up your kids? Would you rather do that? Was it really a sacrifice? But as we get more in tune with God through our lives and in our prayers, and we get more onto His frequency, that ebbs away, and we realize to give away money to God is not sacrifice. To give away time or to invest my talent is not sacrifice. See, then we start praying the prayers as Jesus did, where we will be able to say, Father, glorify Your Son. Do this for me. I ask of You, so that Your Son may glorify You. I ask You for this job, not because I want it. I ask it because I pray that somehow it will be able to bring glory to You. And if somehow in this particular job, I will be able to reach more people for You, if somehow through this line of work, I would be able to point more people to You or relieve some form of pain or help someone, a co-worker, if that is the case and You will be glorified, I pray that You'll give it to me. If not, I don't want it. For I'm hoping to live in this neighborhood. I'm hoping to actually live in that particular house right over there. It's number 12. But my real desire is that through it You will be glorified. My real desire, that is, if in me living there, that maybe I would be able to be a light to my neighbors. And not, listen, I'm going to take the house and somehow I will be a light. But no, the reason I want to live there is these people need You. And I want to bring glory to Your name. Because at the end of the day, I know that what we see and hear here doesn't matter. The only thing that will matter is what lasts into eternity. So, Father, I ask this request. Glorify Your Son, so that Your Son will glorify You. As we comb through the Scriptures over the next couple of weeks, I believe that that link will become clearer and clearer for us. The missing link between the ask and the answer will always be the Father's glory. And as we get tuned into Him, our prayers will move on to His frequency. God bless. Let's close out with a prayer.